Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to be with you. The NHL expansion draft is tonight. We'll have Bob Grove on to talk about that. There's the Penguins, in all likelihood, are making a deal. And that deal would, in other words, we want to ensure that you take Marc-Andre Fleury. So, I believe his wife has been out in Henderson looking at property, but that is coming up tonight. Also, Bob Cooney, Philadelphia Daily News on the NBA draft, which has more intrigue in it this year than any NBA draft I can remember. Well, I mean, I want to say over the last, let's say 20 years. How about that? Probably more intriguing in the NBA draft than maybe in the last 20 years. Where the moves have been made, potential trades, things like that. That's coming up tomorrow night. And let's see. Sean sent me a note. I don't think I would have started it with Dear Stupid. But, I mean,
what?
We all make our,
what?
We all make our own mistakes.
Sorry.
Let's see. And we're going to have what looks like Chuck Hicks. Oh, that's for Friday.
Yes, Friday 4:06, we will have PhillyBaseballInsider.com's Chuck Hickson's. We'll talk. We've been talking a little bit about what's happening in the minor league clubs for the Fightins. So we'll kind of get into that with Chuck on Friday afternoon before your brother comes on, of course, because we can't begin the weekend without the one and only.
Here's the sad thing about the Philly situation. The minor league system is where the excitement is. And that's not an unfair statement. Although I just saw, didn't they recall Brock Stassi?
Yes, they did that yesterday when
Eichhoff went on the 10-day
Jared
Eichhoff.
Yeah, he had to go on the 10-day DRL. So they're bringing up, bring him up from Lehigh Valley.
So at 3:35 today, following this day in sports history, we'll bring in Bob Grove to talk about the expansion draft tonight. And then we will bring in Bob Cooney from the Philadelphia Daily News on the NBA draft at 4:06. On Friday, we're going to have Pete Jensen on from NHL.com at 3:35. Chuck Hickson on the Phillies at 4:06, and then my brother at 4:35. That is called a plan. Trying to think which part of the plan I contributed to.
You do during each interview and during each segment.
Yes.
And it's strong every time.
In fact, you know, people have asked over the years about my execution, and the vast majority have been in favor of it. All right, so.
Yeah, when they add Rockview into the sentence, that's not good. I can say that because my brother-in-law works there. So,
how do you feel about Steve Jones' execution? I'm in favor of it. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm back for the 7 o'clock show. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Try the veal, and why am I on this floor?
Yeah, try the veal, everybody. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. They have people have been putting together draft rankings of personnel. I was looking at draft rankings of personnel. Yeah, and these are just numbers. I mean, these are all guesses. I remember years ago, a person I really liked talking to was Marty Blake. Marty Blake was the super scout for the NBA. If Marty Blake said you were the 7th overall pick in the draft, you were the 7th overall pick in the draft. And he had a handle on everybody. And Marty Blake did a lot of personal, in-person scouting. So I ran into him a lot in the early years of my career. And he was just, it was great to talk to him. You were done. You felt like you knew so much more about what was going on. Well, now today you've got, I mean, today you've got a pretty good feel about where people go. I mean, where the slot happens to be for a player. And the first Big Ten player off the board, in all likelihood, is either going to be OG Anunoby from Indiana or DJ Wilson of Michigan. You can expect Wilson to be around the 20 area. Anunoby, with his injury, he's going to be somewhere between 15 and 25. You can expect Caleb Swanigan to fall out of the first round, and you can expect him to be a second-round pick. Thomas Bryant of Indiana will be a second-round pick, and James Blackman's going to be a free agent. That's the way the draft picks are going to fall for the Big Ten. Same thing with Trevor Thompson of Ohio State, who opted to go to the draft for some reason. I mean, but this is what they have coming up tomorrow night. And then the expansion draft is tonight. And you can expect Marc-Andre Fleury to go. In fact, they probably are working a deal to ensure that he goes. Vegas should end up with a decent team out of this. Not great, not incredible, but decent. A couple baseball games this afternoon. Let's get you up today. Miami beat Washington today 2-1, so the Marlins won. Padres and Cubs scoreless bottom of the third inning at Wrigley. Red Sox and Kansas City 2-2 at Kauffman in the top of the fourth. So that's where that is. The Phillies play the Cardinals tonight.
Yeah, that was rough last night. Jeremy Hellickson with 7 innings of one-run ball, go 1-1 into extras, and then end up giving up the 7-burger in the 11th. That was a couple home runs by the Cards. So now I got Michael Wacha and Nick Pivetta tonight.
Yep, and Pivetta was very good against the Red Sox last week. Really good, but probably his best outing. Cardinals and Pirates are tied for third at 4 games out of the Brewers. The Pirates had one of those encouraging moments last night where Chad Kula won a game. Now the Pirates have won 2 in a row. Yeah, they've in fact the Pirates are 3-3 in their last 6 games.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what they are. I mean, the Pirates are a franchise that this year will win between 77 and 84 games. That's what they're going to be. Now, they're going to get Marte back eventually. And what's really helped them is that Andrew McCutchen actually has stepped up and has played well.
Now, they went through a rough point there for a while. So to be only 5 under 500 and only 4 back from Milwaukee, man, that's not much to complain about at this point.
Well, I mean, look, they're in the perfect division, for goodness sakes. Any other division, they're a dozen games out. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of that just depends on the luck of the draw. A couple of years ago, that division was so tough where, what, the Pirates won 97 games? Didn't win the division because the division was so tough. Now, the division is probably, along with the American League Central, those are the two easiest divisions in baseball. You put them in the American League East. Let's just say the American League East. The Pirates would be, 40 and 31. The Red Sox are in first. So the Pirates would be 7 games out. You wouldn't exactly be going, hey, we're doing pretty well. No, you're not. You put them in the National League West, they're way out. They're a dozen games out in the West, 13 games out in the West. They would be let's see, 10 games out or 9.5 out in the East. You put him in the American League West, and same thing. I mean, well, the Astros would be so far up at everybody. I mean, they'd be about 14, 15 games out. Then you put them in the American League Central, and they'd be about where they are now, about 4 games out. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Ward Manuel, who's the athletic director at Michigan, was making a report, a financial report, which all athletic directors have to do, and he was doing it to the Board of Regents. And he mentioned that in fiscal year 2018, that the conference distribution for Michigan is going to be around $51 million. Now, if the conference distribution for Michigan is around $51 million, now I'm going to guess, it's only a guess on my part. Well, part of it's the TV deal. We know that. TV deal and money, maybe? I mean, and money from bowls? That would be conference distribution. Well, everybody gets that. That means everybody would be getting $51 million. A big chunk of change. You think about all the digital media you could buy with $51 million. You're sitting there dreaming about it right now.
Limitless.
I mean, for example, I mean, I'd buy none. But, I mean, that's just me. I got to tell you what I saw last night. You'll love this. Last night's game was at Williamsport.
Yep, had you on listening to the game on my TuneIn app last night while out on the deck and having a beverage. It was a great call.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's nice for the Spikes to get a bounce-back win. So now you got the Spikes and the Cutters. They're level at 1-1 early on here.
Well, the game was also on TV last night on one of the satellite stations of WNEP. And their sports director is Jim Coles.
Colesy. Oh, yeah, they probably had it on WNEP2.
Right. And they always do the opening, the home opener at Williamsport. They always have. So, you know, we're always in that auxiliary booth. And Colesy and I, of course, went to school together, went to college together. And he and I teamed up, and we were always the Saturday afternoon college football scoreboard team when we weren't the ones doing the games. And then we broadcast basketball together, football together, the whole thing. I mean, that's how far back we go. This day in sports history, to be followed by the Jim Coles story, to be followed by Bob Grove. All right, we'll do things in order here. In 1932, heavyweight boxer Max Schmeling lost a title fight to Jack Sharkey. Schmeling's manager Joe Jacobs exclaimed, quote, "We was robbed." 1939, because of ALS, Lou Gehrig quit baseball. 1942, Ben Hogan, lowest score in a major golf tournament, shot 271 for 72 holes at the U.S. Open. John Landy of Australia, 1954, ran the mile in 3 minutes 58 seconds, the second behind Roger Bannister to do so. Bob Hayes, in 1963, set a record when he ran the 100-yard dash in 9.1 seconds. Eventually, he was signed by the Dallas Cowboys. He won the gold medal in Tokyo in the 100 meter dash. 1970, Tony Jacklin became the second British golfer in 50 years to win the U.S. Open Golf Championship. And that is this day in sports history. All right. I was mentioning before the show designated Survivor on ABC. And I was rudely cut off when the suit stopped pedaling the bike. What?
Pay no attention to the suit behind the curtain.
I know I perfected it. All right. And the premise of the show is that there's a State of the Union address. There's always one cabinet member left out in case something disastrous happens. And in this case, in the premise of the TV show, it's a terrorist attack. Well, the Senate, the House, and cabinet, and, you know, they're all killed in the terrorist attack. So Kiefer Sutherland, who is the was the designated cabinet member, is now as the, quote, designated survivor. He's now the president of the United States. That's the premise of the show. And then it goes from there, trying to build trust, rebuild the government, trying to, you know, work through, you know, not being elected, any of that stuff. Well, they wanted to have a newscaster, a pair of newscasters to, you know, make bridges and transitions once in a while based on, quote, stories within the storyline. And they were going to get some Washington, D.C. Newscasters to do it, but they're just so locked up, so busy, they couldn't do it. So then somebody suggested the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre market, WNEP. They said, look, top rated for decades. They're a top 50 market. They've got some really good people. What about them? And they said, sure. And they said when it came to doing this, they felt that even though he was the sports guy, they felt that Jim Coles was the perfect guy to be the male anchor. So they brought him on to do it. And as I mentioned earlier, Jim and I went to Penn State together at the same time, and Colsey and I, back in college, we co-hosted the college football and basketball scoreboard shows every Saturday together. We did football games together. We did basketball games together. And we have remained friends for the last 40 years. In fact, when I went up to Scranton with Ricky Ronnie, remember I did the show in the studio that day with you, Sean? But it also meant that I could not get up there till 6:30. Right, so I was, you know, well, Colsey had a live hit on WNEP at 5:50, and he kept saying, he says, hey, you know, Steve will be here. I mean, it'll be great. We'll have Steve on, right? You know, well, I couldn't get there until 6:30. Well, Colsey did the baseball game last night at Williamsport. So, you know, he's telling me about, oh, yeah. He says, no. He said, we're going to work it out, get you on, whatever. I said, whatever you want. I said, I'll do whatever you want. And I said, geez, the designated survivor thing's been great. He says, it's been unbelievable. He says, no, he says, look, I'm just reading a teleprompter anyway, like I always do. You know, last night, of course, he did a game. And Colsey doesn't need a teleprompter, take my word. And he said he and his wife went on a vacation to Italy. And these people kept coming up to him saying, hey, designated survivor. He says, I've been shocked. It's been phenomenal. Nah, I'm thrilled for him. So,
Colsey's global. That's awesome.
He's global.
Yeah.
And what's cool is he's just a really good guy.
I remember back in March, the former weekend sports anchor, Charlotte McBride, who's now the nighttime news co-anchor with Scott Schaefer, she took a road trip up to, I want to say, to where they shoot the show. I don't know if it was in Toronto or...
It's in Toronto.
Yeah, she took a road trip up to Toronto, and it actually was in mid-March, right about the time when we had the snowstorm, and did a sit-down with Kiefer Sutherland and everything. It was really cool, so...
Well, they shoot almost the entire show inside, even the outdoor scenes were shot inside on a set. Wild. Wild, wacky stuff.
Colsey can't go anywhere now.
Well, I mean, we've been friends for such a long time. He just blurted out to me last night when he makes on the shoot. So I'm like, oh, no. I said, I don't think I'm going to reveal that. I mean, it's not $1 million. Take my words, not even close. I was telling what Dick Girardi got for secretary. He thought that was a riot. So, yeah. So it was good to see him last night. Especially after I missed him in May up in Scranton, because I was just late. That's, you know. Well, I wasn't late.
Well, I feel bad. I kept you. I kept you from meeting Colsey.
No, I mean, no. I see him all the time, for goodness sakes. I'm just saying, I got there at 6:30 because that's, you know, coincided with what time we were done here.
Yeah, logistics.
So, yep. I mean, the event didn't start till 7:30. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Hang there for 2.5 hours? No. It don't work that way. All right. NHL expansion draft is tonight. The Penguins most assuredly will lose Marc-Andre Fleury. Bob Grove joins us. Bob, welcome back. Great to have you with us as always.
Oh, anytime, Stephen. Hey, if you let me, I'll add to the state sports history. In 2003, in this state, Marc-Andre Fleury was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins, and of course, they could be losing him tonight.
Yeah, man. So he was the first overall pick in the draft.
That's right.
Yeah, they could lose him tonight. In fact, I think the odds are pretty heavy they do lose him tonight. Fair enough.
I agree. I can't think of a reason why, if I'm George McPhee, the general manager of the new Las Vegas club, why you wouldn't take him, either to use him as your number one goaltender or as a trade chip.
Yeah. Now, they had to leave other players unprotected, so you have to make decisions. Carl Hagelin, Ian Cole, Brian Rust. Were you surprised at all as to who was left unprotected, even though they'd be able to keep most of those guys?
No, I wasn't, because you know, every team had that option of 7 forwards and 3 defensemen with your goalie, or 8 skaters with your goalie. And the Penguins are thinner on defense than they are forward. And the only way they could keep all of their defensemen was to go with the 8 option, and that's what they did. So they kept their top 4 defensemen. I mean, had they protected 7 forwards and 3D, they could have protected Rust, but they would have had to leave off either Olli Määttä or Brian Dumoulin, and that's kind of a non-starter for them right now.
I want to ask you about Marc-Andre Fleury, since it looks like this is the window of opportunity that he and his wife should be looking at property in Henderson. And that would be, as you know, you watched him his entire career. What will stand out to you about what he accomplished in Pittsburgh?
Well, of course, you know, he's got his name on the Stanley Cup 3 times, 1 in 2009 when he was the number one goaltender. Of course, this year when the Penguins would not have won the Cup without him. And mostly, of course, as the backup last year. So you start with that. When you draft a goalie number one overall, that's your ultimate hope, that you're going to win a Stanley Cup with him. And the Penguins did that. So you'll never forget that. I will tell you that I will also, a couple of other quick things I'll never forget about him is, you hear so much talk about what a great teammate he is. In all the years I've been covering the Penguins and been around them since the early 80s, I have never heard Penguins players talk about one player and his value as a teammate and how much they value him as a teammate than they have about Marc-Andre Fleury. So he's leaving that stamp on the team. And a couple of things I'll remind folks is that, you know, it didn't come easy to him. You know, when he was first drafted by the Penguins were awful. So he went through some tough times early when he was getting shelled night after night, and then he went through some tough times when they started the road to get better because they kept sending him back down to the American League because they couldn't afford to pay him his NHL salary. That's how cash-strapped the team was, if you go back to then. And the other thing I'll never forget about Marc-Andre Fleury is, Steve, the way he reacted to what happened to him in the spring of 2013. That's when the Penguins went to the conference final that year and got swept by the Bruins. Earlier in those playoffs, he had lost his job, to Thomas Bocoon. And that is a very visible way to lose your job at the most important part of the season. And the Penguins basically said, you've got to get your game back in order. We think you need to see a sports psychologist, whatever. He did that. He rebuilt his game. He rebuilt his career. I mean, he could have sulked, but you know, he just went about it the right way. And you know, and I'll never forget how he did that.
Right, and that, look, that takes a lot of class to handle something like that. And you do have to be, quote, a great teammate to handle it the way he did.
Yeah, no question about it. He is, everything that they're saying about him is so true. He's been an amazing player to have in their organization.
When you look at expansion, they're also going to, by doing this, him being taken, they'll lose a salary out of this. So what kind of flexibility does that give the Penguins, because they will lose a salary out of this?
Yeah, that gives them a lot of flexibility. And we should, you know, we should throw out there that even you and I are on the same page and we think Vegas is going to take them. You never know what's going to happen. And the thing is, may have a deal in place on the side to make sure that Las Vegas takes him.
Right.
We'll have to see when that comes out tonight, because there are going to be all these deals that Vegas has been doing that are going to be announced. So, but it gives them great flexibility because they've got, you know, they've got, look, they're losing a lot of unrestricted free agents, or, you know, so you got Bonino and Daly and Hainsey and all those guys. That are Kunitz, they're all unrestricted free agents, but they've got guys who need new salaries. And, you know, Brian Boomlin would be one of them. Justin Schultz would be another one. These are guys they absolutely have to have, and the Penguins spend to the cap. So when you can create $5.7 million of more cap space, and you've got a proven goaltender to take over for the one you're losing, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I believe Fleury's like a $5.75 million cap hit. Which comes into play. And that's why you're right. They may have a trade in place that says, yeah, you're taking him, right? Let's make sure you do.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because you don't want to, if the Penguins had their druthers, they'd rather not lose somebody else like Brian Rust. Because you've got the guy to replace your goaltender that you're losing. So we'll see the way that it all shakes out. But who knows what other deals. Look, Jim Rutherford made his career wheeling and dealing, Steve. And yeah. Does he have another play in place for Carl Hagelin, you know, who quite frankly is making $4 million but is overpaid right now because his game was nowhere near that this season? And he's got a couple of years left. Look, he's going to be active, Rutherford. Who knows what he's got cooked up?
It's also interesting the roster makeup that this team has. The fact they're going to play their initial exhibition game of the 17-18 season here at Penn State when they take on Buffalo. Which is interesting in part because they've got 14 guys on that team that just got their names etched in the Stanley Cup that actually have college hockey backgrounds. How important has that become as another additional feeder into the league and how Jim Rutherford looks at it?
Well, the growth of Americans in the National Hockey League has been really, really strong in the last, you know, 15 to 20 years, but especially so for the Penguins. You mentioned all the Americans they have. They set the record last year for most Americans on a Stanley Cup roster, and they matched it again this year. The Penguins are very heavy into college hockey prospects because they've had great success with them. And so, it's been a trend around the National Hockey League, but the Penguins, who were behind it for some period of time, have really gotten way on the other end of things, and they've got so many Americans in the system. And they see the value of watching that guy go through the college years. Hey, Chris Kunitz is another one. Played at Ferris State, was never drafted. He's got his name on the Stanley Cup 4 times. Okay. You can go through and look at the players who have really benefited from that slower pace of learning and playing more practicing and playing games that you get in college, and it's paid off for them, and the Penguins are doing that.
How odd is it going to be to see any league? I mean, the last time I can remember a league going through with an odd number of teams was the NFL when they brought Cleveland back, and then eventually they brought Houston in. How odd is that going to be to have a 31-team league?
Well, it's going to be weird, and you'll see the schedule. You know, the schedule for the Western Conference teams is going to reflect that. If they're not all going to look the same, but what it does is it raises the ante on the timetable for the expansion to the 32nd team. So, yes. You know, the NHL, I think they are really still hoping that somebody in Seattle gets their act together and builds the arena, because I think that's where they want to go. I would, yeah. You and I have had this discussion, we'd rather go to Quebec, but I think it's weird. It's weird, but it pushes the timetable for the next team to join.
Yeah, in fact, Bob, I think I read the mayor of Seattle's being rather coy, as if he's talked a lot with Gary Bettman of late. And I think that the number is, if they put $500 to $550 million into Key Arena, they can do it. I think that's what it comes down to, just the money they put into refurbished Key Arena.
Yeah, and that's never an easy sell these days for voters in any city, right?
No, it's not. It's not. I don't know about you, but I've always had this theory, and it's which means it's worthless, you know that. but if a city builds a new stadium or arena, it should be one third. That the team, obviously, they're using it, they should pay a third. I've always felt the league, because they need the market and TV negotiations, they should pay a third, and then the city itself should pay a third, because they'll get the benefit of restaurants and other things like that, which means jobs.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem with it. There are lots of theories that show why you should do the way you can fund these arenas, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, look, sports teams for me, pro sports teams all over the map in every sport are leaving these facilities way too soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if they weren't planned the right way, but I will say this. If you can do it the right way, look, you put a price tag on the millions of dollars that the Penguins bring to the city of Pittsburgh in revenue and restaurants and hotels and everything. Now, to get it, you have to be really good. And you're making long runs into the postseason. You're hosting all-star games and drafts and all that kind of stuff. But if you do it the right way, you can easily make the case that, look, a little bit of contribution from the voters is going to pay off in the long run. But as always, it's where you draw the line.
And sometimes if you have a successful franchise which ends up having a nice facility, it may actually draw in convention business because you're on the map for people who want to bring something someplace. I mean, and not just to the arena, maybe over to the Lawrence Center, whatever. I mean, you know, you actually puts the name of the city on the map.
No, I would agree with that. You can definitely, and it also depends on, do you have somebody to share the building? You know, are you going to have two, pro sports franchises, or how's that going to work? And what kind of concerts can you attract? Look, that's what happened in Pittsburgh, Steve, because the Civic Arena, the Mellon Arena, could no longer host the big touring rock shows because they didn't have the infrastructure because of the dome.
Right.
They couldn't hang the lights and stuff that they absolutely had to have, and acts were skipping Pittsburgh all the time until they got the new building, and now they all hit it. So, there's an example. Now, that's a little bit of a unique example because there's no other, teams would be leaving a place where you couldn't really do that. But when you get a state-of-the-art facility, your ability to attract events definitely goes up.
Bob, it's always a pleasure. There's always a wide number of things that you and I can talk about, and I appreciate the time you give us all the time.
Anytime, Steve. Thanks.
Bob Grove joining us. We'll come back with more in a moment. Next half hour, we'll talk with Bob Cooney of the Daily News in Philadelphia about the Sixers NBA draft as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.